Hey everybody, welcome to the New World Pictures Podcast. We're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and the movies nearly released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me as always is Mark.
You know, it's been a long time since I've taken a nice, long, nude swim.
And Erica?
I hope that when I'm at the beach, I see a desert chimp. I would love that. If I was just relaxing at the beach and a chimp came up, little rascal, tried to steal my slippers or put my bra on his head, wouldn't that be hilarious?
Not one, but two.
Just start rubbing one out right in front of you.
Right. Yep. As they love to do. For comedy and for pleasure. And we are in the midst of Sextember 4. 4G. Let's try it again. And we're in the midst of Sextember 4. Foreplay.
I think you could also do it like four, like golf, and then play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it don't say September 4, foreplay. It's September 4 play.
Got it.
Yeah.
And we're in the midst of Sextember 4 play. Well, we're going to talk about all the sexy movies released by New World Pictures, because there's nothing more comfortable than talking about sexy movies with your brother and your wife. And we've got a nearly new world to talk about in this episode. This is a movie that was nearly released by New World. So nearly that in our 1981 New World Pictures guide, which we have been using a lot this
Still not handling it
months.
With gloves on. I just, do you even care? Are
just
you even trying
it up
to
here
preserve
on a
it?
Shelf, like just haphazardly.
Make sure you cup the crease on that. You got to keep that binding.
So
don't
many
put
creases.
Any creases there.
So many.
Your hand oils. Your hand oils are getting
all
over that,
over
Ryan.
I've used it already for Galaxy of Terror and also for Saturday the 14th. We were talking about those. But if you look into it, we see Paradise is listed as one of the upcoming movies from New World Pictures in 1981. And I'll read to you what it says. White hot passions sear the desert sands.
Ew, I don't. Ugh. Ew.
The harsh rays of the sun blaze down on a merciless desert wasteland. An unprotected caravan moves slowly across the burning, windswept hills and plains. Then suddenly shots ring out, and the innocent band is ruthlessly attacked and wiped out by an army of marauders. Only three survivors go undetected. A young 14-year-old girl.
Ew, that makes it worse.
Her aging manservant.
Oh, my God. Poor Joffrey.
Dear Lord. Don't talk about Joffrey that way.
Oh, come on. Oh,
my gosh.
Sure, he's got a few years on him. Let's cut him some slack.
Yeah, but I don't. The years don't bother me. It's the manservant. I don't think I don't think that was on his LinkedIn profile. Manservant.
I also think, you know.
The 1800s.
He was really pulling off that three-piece suit in the middle of the goddamn desert.
He was.
Yeah.
I think that's what made him pass out eventually in that cave.
He was, absolutely. You
know, so hot.
Plus the long johns, the wool socks. That's
tough.
Yeah.
He was
his dedication to fashion is what almost took him out.
Yeah. And an agile boy just beginning to discover the joys and passions of manhood.
Ew.
The only word that's correct in that sentence is boy.
Together, the trio make their way through the scorching inferno towards safety, dodging drought, starvation, and a treacherous horde of white slave merchants. When their mentor dies, they did have slaves in the beginning, but you know,
I said the drought part.
Oh,
I don't remember the drought part. I guess
pardon me.
The drought part and slaves do sound similar.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Ryan's our aging manservant on this podcast. <That's right. laughs>
I'm so hot, you guys. I don't think I needed to put on the scuba suit. But I am going. I don't know why you put it on. I put it on just in case.
He wants to look good.
Just in case things got wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, they might. It's September. You never know.
When their mentor's gonna get wet in September. Hopefully not your wetsuit, though. Especially if you're on land. It's going to be hard to get off if it's wet inside.
It is.
Kind of defeats the purpose.
I guarantee you it's wet inside. He's in the desert. It's wet inside.
And this thing is...
It's definitely that thing hard is real to get off claggy thing on the inside. Real claggy.
It's collecting the juices. When their mentor dies, now he's a mentor. When their mentor dies, the young awakening
aging
couple,
mentor manservant, got it. I'm tracking.
Yeah. He is also a mentor, but also he's an aging
manservant.
That was
manservant. Bullet number one in his LinkedIn profile, was also mentor.
Yeah. Just an aging manservant ready to mentor two young children. Two nubile young children.
Not children. Young adults.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get into it. But
the young awakening adults. Couple must survive not only the desert's perils, but their own unbridled desires as well.
Ew. Mm. Please don't ever say unbridled again about this movie.
So, what happened, I cannot tell you. I don't really know 100% how it went from New World announcing it, saying, hey, we're going to put this movie out in 1981. But somehow the rights go to Avco Embassy. And I do believe that it did go, like, they did sort of take the movie out and try to sell the rights. And they do sell them to Avco Embassy. But I feel like I don't know what happened with New World. Because on this movie, as a creative consultant, is Gene Corman, Roger's brother. And, of course, this is 1981. It comes out in 1982 in the end. This is still when Roger owned New World Pictures. And actually, Gene Corman was actually scouted locations in Tel Aviv, because that's where they shot this, around Israel, where he was shooting several other projects, including right after this, he shot A Woman Called Golda, the TV miniseries that he produced. That was the final project for actress Ingrid Bergman, which we discussed in our Autumn Sonata episode that he made for TV. And so he was very much involved in this. So I have to imagine he probably just mentioned it to Roger. Roger said, oh, we can put that out. I don't know why they decided not to. I don't know. Maybe because Roger decided
to. Remy was just like, no, you guys don't get this one. I get this one. It's nearly Blue Lagoon, and I'm taking it from you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, speaking up, because we're talking about the two young people that are in this movie. Willie Ames, fresh off of the TV show It Is Enough, which apparently, I listened to the commentary for this, and apparently he auditioned for Blue Lagoon, but he could not do it because of It Is Enough. So So he decided to go for the nearly Blue Lagoon instead. And this is also the debut for model
turned
actress.
Well, his Willie aims to be seen in this movie.
Thank God. That was the last thing I needed. No, thank you.
But you get it. You get it.
He was on Eight Is Enough, but it's just one is enough in this movie.
Mm-hmm. You get to see his donger. You get to see his butt.
Ew, I didn't see his donger, thank God.
It was underwater. He swims it right by over the camera.
Oh, yeah. A couple times. Get a couple swipes at it.
It's right there. It's right there.
Ew. Thank God I didn't look.
Oh, well.
I was absolutely not trying to take any kind of tallies during this. I was like, I am a weirdo if I keep counting. I'm weird, but that's weird.
It is particularly weird because Phoebe Cates, who this is her debut, she was a model. She decides to start acting. And she was 17 when she shot this movie, which certainly was of some sort of controversy. Nothing, I think, that honestly spoiled once they put the movie out. She was 18 at the time, I think, they put this out. And that same year, she also appears in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, also in 1982, which she also appears topless, though... She goes fully nude in this.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So if seeing a 17-year-old nude, this is your, I guess, is your bag. And please don't let us know. Yeah. Please don't tell us. I don't want to know. That is, yeah. So, making his debut in this movie also is the Canadian writer-director Stuart Gillard, who was a former actor. He had been on a TV show in Canada. And then he would go on to direct other things, including Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. And this.
The one I love the most of all of them.
Your favorite of all three.
Your favorite one.
Have you Great. Seen any of them, Mark? That is, I'm not feeling
if
confident.
If I were to watch any of them, it would be the third.
Yeah, you should. You go at the end. Go to the end of the franchise.
I haven't seen Angel either, but I've seen Angel 3, and I've seen Avenging Angel. So
that's true. That's true. So that's our thing.
You know, audience, that I'm not lying.
I don't think anybody thought you were lying.
Well,
the only thing I think you're lying about is that you would watch one of them. That's the only part that I'm not buying.
Is it a nearly new world? Can we find a way? There's got to be a way.
There's always a way. Some of the nearlies have been so very scantly nearly that I'm sure we could find a way.
Like this one, scantly nearly.
And none of us had seen this before, right? Paradise?
No.
Ew, what if I'd been like, hell yeah, dog, it's in my top 10. Like, gross. You'd be like, oh, what are your other 9, you weirdo? No, I saw this once. I fast-forwarded through a lot of the sex scenes because it made me uncomfortable. I hope to never see it again. That's my review. Now, put that in a letterbox.
Now, this was, as we've mentioned, obviously, hugely just a ripoff of Blue Lagoon. Yeah. I mean, it's practically the exact same story. And you've never seen that, right, Erica?
No, I've seen Blue Lagoon.
Okay, you've seen
Blue Lagoon. That's another one I wish I could unwatch.
I haven't seen it in forever, but this certainly brought back some memories. But Mark, do you recall Blue Lagoon at all?
I do remember Blue Lagoon, and I remember... I wasn't at an age where the plot of Blue Lagoon mattered all that much. I was more trying to get to the good parts, if you know what I mean. Because
the target market for Paradise as well. People that are not worried about the plot.
So I have seen it. Do I remember the story arc, the characters, the struggle? No, I don't at all.
Yeah.
But
yeah, me neither. Me neither.
I never saw Blue Lagoon 2, though. So I feel that's like
right. There's a Blue Lagoon 2.
Blue Lagoon. Ugh. I think it's called Blue Lagoon Returns, right?
It's Return to the Blue Lagoon.
And it's Mia Jovovich, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how similar it is in plot. And a lot
what
that was a
against
big...
Mia Jovovich, Erica.
I'm just saying, who wants to go back to the? Who's like, hell yeah, I've been waiting for this. Like.
That. Well, a lot of that one came about because they were looking in 1980 is when they release Blue Lagoon and it's a big hit, and so they wanted to make a sequel. That's why when they release Paradise, they actually do get sued.
Mm-hmm.
By Columbia sues them because they're like, this is the exact same plot and it's the same movie, and we are trying to make a sequel, and you're messing with our ability to do so. I don't believe they win that court case somehow. I'm not 100%, but I don't know if they win that. And I have no idea why. This is exactly like Blue Lagoon. It is... Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Mark.
I can tell you why. The lawyers went, okay, we're going to go watch this movie, and that's going to help us build our case. And they walked out of the movie, and they went, this movie fucking sucks. Don't worry about it. You're good.
Right. We don't. It doesn't matter. Fine. It's not going to mess with us.
This will not mess with Return to Blue Lagoon or Revenge of Blue Lagoon or whatever.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
But they don't get to Return of Blue Lagoon until like the 90s, right? So it does take time for them to finally return.
Well, it's hard to write that script. To get the right script for that, it's tough.
And to get back to the Blue Lagoon, that takes a lot of time. How do you... You were shipwrecked there. You have to go back.
What are the odds it's going to happen again? I mean, you want to make it believable, Ryan. You want the audience to be like, I totally
buy
get
it.
How this could happen again.
I can see, I can see this scenario happening a couple times.
For sure.
In this one, at least, we get like half an hour where they're not Blue Lagooning it. I think half an hour is being really...
We get a full hour before they go down to Boner Town. which is
okay. It's depending, Mark. It's depending on how you how you interpret Blue Lagoon-ing it. You interpret it one way. I meant copying the movie Blue Lagoon, and you jumping into someone's blue.
It's such a
lagoon,
subtle nuance. So, like, we were on the same page, but I was on a lower paragraph of that page.
We've been doing Sex Number 4 years running. We might not be the best people to talk about sexy movies. We don't have a lot of maturity in this area. Anyway.
Yeah. Maybe we're the most qualified. Because we can separate ourselves from it. We can look at it objectively.
And here's why I think it also... I even bring up the fact that they spend some time before they Blue Lagoon things. Is that once they do, it doesn't make any sense. Like, Blue Lagoon, they're shipwrecked. It's actually based on a book, Blue Lagoon. And it actually was also... It was made in a movie in the 1940s. So there wasn't... So Blue Lagoon in 1980 is a remake, technically. And, but you can understand, shipwrecked. Just the two of them on an island. They have to survive. These two are in this caravan that was described in the 1981 New World Pictures Guide. They are attacked. They do survive by going down into a well where a man is killed and thrown down. And somehow they avoid that? I don't know. I don't know how that all worked out. But in any case, they do escape by hiding in a well. They come out. They lose their mentor manservant. He gets killed because he's just like, well, we were just hunted and raided by a bunch of people. But let me go to this next camp and chat with them for a bit and see if we can't get some
assistance. See if they're the good ones or the bad ones. Let's figure out.
Right.
Are they good? Are they bad? I don't know.
They're living
out
here in the middle of the desert. I'm sure they're probably really good people.
I think probably his biggest mistake was when he approached the camp. He was like, good day to you. I'm mentor, advisor, aging man, servant, Geoffrey. And they just were like, tew, tew, with arrows. Like, it was over. It was over before it started. Yeah.
So fast.
For sure.
Yeah.
I don't think he got that full sentence out, but I hear what you're saying. And so then he's dead.
But
and
honestly,
then they're on
it was
their
probably for the best that they took him out before the high blood pressure did. Either way, clock
right.
was ticking.
It was coming.
Yeah.
It was coming.
Yeah.
It was coming.
Yeah. And he didn't want the responsibility of taking care of these young adults.
He was a manservant to adults.
I got better.
He was an
I
aging manservant to children. Yeah. He's
we
like,
don't
I'd
get
rather...
his full story, but I have a feeling like he was like, I've got to get you back to London to your dad. And then I'm going to go live my life. Do the things I want to do at long last. Me, Geoffrey, finally get to do the things that I want.
I think
he ran into that marauder camp and he just ran in and was like, kill me!
I'm
please!
I'm with
sick
Erica.
Of their shit.
On that last night when he was laying in hospice before he went down to the camp, he was thinking, I have not put enough into my 401k plan. I have no fucking retirement. What the hell am I going
to
do?
I've got nothing. I've got nothing.
Nothing.
I returned this girl to London and I am fucked.
I
got nothing going on.
So whatever happens in that camp, so be it. He made his deal and came to peace with it, came to terms with what his future was. And when he died, he was like, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm good.
They didn't hear it because he was dead, but like in his, they put their ears up to his mouth. He gets killed, and they basically get on a camel and ride out, and then the camel takes off, and he has to run after her because she's on the camel, and then they find this beachfront, and they decide to stay there. Why? What are you doing? Why do you do?
Well.
And before we get into what happens once they decide to camp there, but they decide to stay there, it doesn't make any sense. Unlike Blue Lagoon, they're on this island. They're being hunted. They know people are after them. The only thing I can think is that while they were in this cave that Willie Ames found, he found some water, a water source there that was going down. And Phoebe Cates decides to take a shower and somehow finds soap in a sponge.
Oh, dude. Which Willie like... Ames. So, hold on. Before he finds the water, he goes... This is one of 10 times that he runs off in a temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. Which is, that's Willie Ames' character. He is constantly this guy.
Well, that's it then. We've had it. We can't walk out. We're dead.
Where are you going?
What's the difference?
He's that guy through the entire movie. He runs off. Joffrey and Sarah have a conversation that lasts all of 30 seconds. David runs back and says, I found water. That water is like say a quarter mile away. How he found it, I mean, he should be a water diviner. He should be going around with a divining rod because his ability to find water equals her ability to find like a Bath and Body Works in the middle of the desert because she has a loofah sponge.
She's got a sponge. Soap. She's got soap.
I'm like, where did that come from? And but I was laughing of them finding all kinds of resources at their disposal, no matter where they go.
Yep.
I was laughing so hard at that scene only because I was like, why does she have soap all of a sudden? They have nothing. They were hiding in a well. She somehow snuck some soap out and a sponge. Also, that water, isn't that their water supply? And you're bathing in it with and adding soap to it? What are we doing?
Yeah. It's... Well, I'm going to assume because it's a waterfall that they're not drinking. It's not recycling. The water's going down and there's another source.
I don't know. We never really get to see that part of it. We only get to see a little bit of where the water coming out of
it. Ryan's an aging mentor to us, Ryan. Mark. Ryan is an who's aging man.
You don't even know who you're talking to.
You know what?
So they,
I'm just going to be over here taking a shower, okay? Because that is what is most important.
They stumble on that beach, and the reason why I brought up the divining rod is there's giant leaps of logic here. In 3 minutes, he finds a well, runs back a quarter mile each way in a matter of seconds, and then the camel takes off with Sarah. He runs after her, sees the ocean, which was just over a hill.
Yeah,
and not just only over is a she hill. Beyond that, she has gone into a canyon next to the ocean and found a waterfall within seconds.
Seconds.
I'm like, how? There is teleportation happening in this movie that is wild.
Maybe camels go a lot faster than I think. There is a scene where they're on the camel and he's like booking it. And I was like, maybe camels go really quick.
I guess so.
I don't know. I've never ridden a camel, so I don't know.
But this is also they find this place. And here's the problem. They're being hunted by slave traders.
Yeah.
And yet they decide not once, but twice to play house. Yeah. And build a whole fucking house.
Oh, my God.
They're going to see you.
Real quick before we get into this, but I just want to say he does have another divining rod. And I think it's him looking at her taking a shower that he was like, maybe we stick out by the beach and stay there for a while.
You think?
Another rod telling me to do that. But then they go there and they're just like.
But it's called Devin. It's a Devin rod. It's slightly different than
I gave him a name, for God's sakes.
But I think point counterpoint. The only thing that I was okay with about their little, like, beachside house and stuff was, like, they are kids. So, like...
But also, one
like,
of them
oh,
is a contractor.
Oh, we found water. Like, we could live here. Like, we should stay here. Because it was just like, okay, this is where we live now. Like, they just... That was it.
But his ability to build an entire house in the middle of the desert...
like, with a porch.
With a porch. And a swing.
And a swing.
And two different beds. What were their beds made of? What's on those beds?
I don't know. I assume.
It? Where do they get blankets to put on top of it?
Memory foam? But to
you always point, take that with you, no matter where you go. No you always,
where.
I mean.
If it falls in a well, you better pull it out.
Yeah.
I know we didn't.
That's what they found in the well. There's so much memory foam in here. Take it. Take it all of it.
I know that we didn't do our letterboxed description of this movie, but the thing that I was going to say is this movie is written like it was supposed to be for like kids, like 10 and 11 year olds.
Yes.
Because these kids are dumb. Like, they don't know anything about anything.
Yes. Yes.
But then someone in the studio said, yeah, but we got to have, like, some titties and shit, right? So then they cast young adults, but didn't bother to change the script, which was for kids. So half the things that, especially, sadly, Willie Ames' character says, you're like, a 20-year-old should know this. Like, even in 1823, you should have a basic understanding of how this shit works.
He was about to go into the ministry. Like, that's what his parents had decided. They're like, it's time you, like, start a job. And, like, he was not, it was not like, you know, once you're done with school, young man, we're going to have you go in. They were like, no, this is what you're going to do.
He's constantly.
He's an older guy.
Always blaming everyone else for his problems.
Sure, sure.
And they don't do the simple things like, hey, there are people chasing after us. Maybe we don't want to build a fucking house and constantly light fires and acquire chimps and camels for pets. Like, maybe that causes... Maybe they'll see us over the horizon.
Even worse, once they build that giant house, the marauders find them, burn the house to the ground, run off. Then he's like, okay, well, let me make this makeshift tent thing just down the beach a ways. Like, right. Dude, they know where you are. They found where you are. And you're like, well, we'll just set up a little makeshift thing in the meantime. And then I guess he's planning to build another house again right where they are. Dude, get out of there. What are you doing?
I don't understand.
It was so dumb. Erica, while we're at it, what was your made-up letterbox synopsis for this, since we didn't do that up top?
My made-up letterbox synopsis would be, if you are a woman in your late 40s looking for an escape and to have a good time and not think about your problems for 90 minutes... skip this one. Love, Erica.
Mine would be...
sorry, that would be mine. That would be mine. No, mine would be a big old skip. I don't
completely
know.
I agree.
Maybe if you love chimp humor that involves a chimp masturbating, this is for you.
Everyone loves that. Everybody loves it. But, yeah.
Mine is to your point, Mark. Mine is, this is a story about two chimpanzees starting their own family and a rollicking, fun family adventure. Because part of this movie, as you're saying, is totally aimed at kids. They find these monkeys and they're like hilarious. There's that time where he's trying to like learn how to use the bow and arrow to potentially kill the man hunting them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, why can't I get this? Oh, I remember. I read Robin Hood.
Right. Like, right. I read Robin Hood. I know.
I guess Robin Hood,
I don't think it has a whole chapter on how to use a bow and arrow.
It's apparently got extensive lessons in archery inside of it. I don't know. I never read it. But so much of it is silly, but it is written in the script that they are going to be nude. In fact, Phoebe Cates and Willie Ames decided while they were shooting the movie, we don't need to have this much nudity. And they talked about it over with the director. And the problem is that the people that didn't like that was the studio, which is RSL Films. It's a Canadian company that put the money up. And they weren't happy about it, which is why the love scenes have Willie Ames and Phoebe Cates, but the close-ups are body doubles, because they went and shot other footage of other people so they could make it more scintillating, because they tried to shoot it, I guess, with less body parts shown. And then they didn't tell the actors or the director until they screened it, which is why the director, Stuart Gillard, told the Montreal Gazette before the film opened in 1982, he said, I don't consider it my film, though my name is still on it. But I'll be caught in the maelstrom no matter what happens. He apparently, because he didn't shoot all of the scenes in the script where there was nudity, RSL, he actually sued them because he wasn't paid well. And they countered, countersued because he hadn't shot all the scenes in the script, and they said because he didn't, they had to actually go back and reshoot more footage, so that's, they had to spend more money. And so they, so this was them going back and forth over this movie.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh. So, and then what he says about the love scenes, he says, he said that the film, quote, is certainly not the film I shot. I wouldn't shoot that kind of picture. The lovemaking in the script is of a very suggestive nature, not graphic. A lot of soft lights, silhouettes, long shots. I mean, I don't know if they made it so like crazily explicit, but
they did. You know. But there's, I mean, a lot of grab boobing going on. That's about it, I guess. But
I mean, also
there's a lot of butts. There's a lot of butts.
Oh my god,
butts!
The tushy tally is very high.
Very.
As Mark points out, Willie Ames does yell and like run off a lot, and the scene. I actually have like two versions of this movie because I bought a weird like knockoff Korean DVD way back when I thought this
Lucky
was actually
you.
Still a New World movie, and so I watched a little bit of that, and they don't have the scene, which is like if we had a favorite scene, this would be mine. When he runs off and he gets mad at her, and then he runs off and he's angry and he's hanging out in at the bottom of the waterfall. Nude with his butt out, and he's just slapping the water, yelling, I'm stupid. Like that. That was so. And she sees him, and then she like smiles, like, oh, he feels bad. And I'm like, this is so dumb. This is the stupidest. Well, oh my god, I love it.
I know we're not at things we love, things we hated, but what my favorite scene is. When they first are introduced to the chimpanzee, and Sarah, Phoebe Cates' character, gives the chimpanzee a banana, Willie Ames says something to her, and I have the clip.
Oh, good.
That confounded me. I'm just going to play this for you, then I have questions.
Okay.
You speak pretty good Japanese.
Is that Japanese chimpanzee? He chimpanese.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Oof. Is that his character because he's stupid? Or does Willie Ames not know how to say chimpanzee? I'll just one more time.
You speak pretty good Japanese.
It's chimpanese. He's saying chimpanese. Like, it is. But that's the thing. This movie goes back and forth. It is like a silly movie for kids and family with that music that you just hear a little bit behind it, which is like the, you know, just like, oh gosh, that kind of music that's playing behind him is played through a lot of it, including the chimpanzee scenes. Lots of this movie feels like this is like do they expect families to watch this movie?
Yes.
But then there's tons of butts, and you see Phoebe Cates and Willie Ames fully nude swimming under the water. Like, what are we doing? But they're like, come on, kids, this is hilarious.
Yeah. It's bizarre. I don't know who it's for.
Look at these
that
two teens getting pregnant. Because it's like, what are we doing?
Spoiler. She gets pregnant.
She gets pregnant by the end of the movie. So does the chimpanzees, and they smartly go, we shouldn't raise a family with these two nuts nearby. We should go find our own.
The chimpanzees are the smartest people. They leave.
They get out. Also, so, just real quick, there's also a moment once we go back to their two huts, and he goes swimming to like find fish, and he finds nothing as far as we can tell.
Well, he finds a lot of stock footage of fish out there.
He does. He sees lots. Like, they're like, look, we went underwater. We just took lots of shots of the reef and fish, and we got to use it. He comes back, and Sarah's gone. She's been taken. And he immediately knows where she is. He immediately finds her. He immediately sneaks around camp, never's caught. He does this also when he finds Joffrey. He's very good about sneaking around camp, even though he's very loud, and he's always angry, and he's very, he cannot control his emotions in any way.
And he has the subtlety of like an air horn. So,
but apparently, sneaky,
so
like
true.
Pew, 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 pew. If we have that sound effect, just add that.
And he's like a fucking ninja apparently whenever he goes to these little camps. And he dresses up in one of the ladies' outfits, goes in, tries to save her, gets bitten by a scorpion, runs off, grabs her and runs off. The chimpanzees pull down the tent.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's enough. Again, what are we doing? Who is this for?
I know.
Who is this for?
The main bad guy, he at least stops him from pursuing him by throwing a vase at him.
Yeah.
And it crashes into him, and he's able from that to just get away. Just get away. Just run away. No big deal.
Yeah.
And they're immediately back to playing house again.
Back on, like, the beach.
What?
I'm like, that they got... I know that they had to probably deal with that tent for a little bit, but, like, none of them could get out and track them down. Also, you know exactly where they are because you went and got her, and they didn't... At that point, they switch to the castle, right? Isn't that where they switch over to some other place?
They do. Yeah they do. But suddenly they find a forest
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the desert and hang out there for a while.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I don't know. Somehow. And they just are really good at finding places, but then they always get found because they're probably not too far. They're like, they either went back to the beach or they went to a place that's not far from here because...
Mm-hmm.
They can't go too far. Yeah. But the
I mean,
thing about
I
the
think
scorpion...
that's right. I think it's a movie for little kids that somebody was like, this should be sexier.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's where it went wrong. Like, honestly, I probably would have liked it 500% more if it didn't have all the sex scenes and her getting pregnant, all of that. I'd have been like, this is just silly. But
imagine,
they add that element. It just makes it weird. Like, can you imagine watching this with your kids? It would be like, what the fuck?
Oh, I would never do that.
No.
My God.
And it makes me wonder, because I don't know exactly when it leaves New World, but, like, I can see Roger totally being like, oh, a Blue Lagoon knockoff? Yeah, 100%. Let's do that. I'll do that in a heartbeat. And if they only went and filmed some of the nudity, a lot of butts and stuff, and then they got the movie and he was like, there's not enough nudity. I can't sell this. And then it goes out to the open market because they do say that they made a deal with Avco. And part of the deal with Avco that RSL makes is that they were going to add more nudity, that it needed more nudity. That's what Avco agrees to distribute it because they think they're going to get more nudity. So,
well,
that's why they shot more of the nudity.
That's amazing to think about because I'd read that too. And yes, those sex scenes, they added body doubles to add some more nudity. But there's a fuck ton of nudity
there's
in
tons
this movie
before
you even get to that.
Yeah.
Like, it starts running quickly at a 10-minute clock on, like, 10 minutes have gone by. We need more nudity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. And it's full meats and cheeses nudity here. So, I'm surprised that Avco's like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like enough.
You get the full Willy of Willie Ames. You get as we mentioned, you know? You get it. You get
nobody thought, this is weird, though, because there's a juxtaposition of this is almost like a Swiss Family Robinson Escape from Witch Mountain kids movie, just with a shit ton of nudity.
Yeah.
And chimpanzees, which I guess that would be a good for the kids movie part. But also... How? This guy can't fish. He can't shoot a bow and arrow. And yet, they know full tanning skills. They have a plethora of leather. And they're somehow keeping a camel alive.
Somehow.
This
defies
all logic.
And how did he build the swing? How did he build their house? Like,
with what tools?
How? Like, they're trying to make it look like he's just using, like, twine or something like that to, like, take all this bamboo sticks and, like, but, like, where's the bamboo? Where's any of it? To go back to the earlier point you just made, Mark, too, New World had released, if we recall, we'd talked about this movie Foxtrot, which the version, of course, that's available and out there doesn't have some of the, well, no, it does. He added all that nudity into that scene where all the people are hanging out. Just, though there is a love scene that they just added body doubles to. That was all they did. They didn't have to add a lot into that one. There was already well enough nudity in the version before they get the body doubles. I can't see how Roger had turned that down. So I don't know what would have happened that it would have gone away. I can see why he would have been interested initially. I just don't know why it went away from him. But yeah, because there's still plenty of nudity in there.
But I do know this.
Good brandy can dispel anything.
I mean, if Foxtrot has taught us anything, you know.
It's that. It's that.
That's it. For sure. I think that's all it taught us.
What this movie tells me is that, you know, a scorpion bite, it'll mess you up. It'll mess you up for a few nights. But you'll
be
good.
Was he that messed up? I felt like he was just fooling. I felt like he just didn't want to have to be on camel duty, so he was like, oh, my scorpion bite it.
Oh, I don't know. He as soon as she went up to a tree, up in the tree just to get coconuts, he lost his shit.
Yeah.
So
he should have died because he ripped up her medical book having one of his little fits. So she should have been like, oh, you got bit by a scorpion. Wish I knew what to do, but you burned and ripped up my medical book. So,
which she kind of does, but is like, I wish we had that book, but she doesn't really lay into him correctly. Also, his parents, when they are trying to figure out at the very beginning of the movie how they get on this wagon train to Damascus, his parents are asking to be included on this caravan.
Yeah.
And first of all, they look like they just left the set of Little House on the Prairie, which I'm pretty sure people in 1923 didn't dress like that.
Wasn't it the 1800s?
1823.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Little House on the Prairie is the 1870s. So, and the United States. But
yeah, it's a small difference there.
But they say it's been 3 months that we've been trying to get to Damascus. Now, I get it. By the crows fly, it's 467 miles from Baghdad to Damascus.
Oh, but we crunched something.
Had they started 3 months ago, when they said that they started asking for people to take them, all they had to do was walk 5.19 miles a day, and they would be in Damascus.
Hmm.
So why the fuck didn't they just go? Hmm. They were just hanging around Baghdad, just waiting for someone to take them?
I would say, you know, that's a good point, because they made it to where they are in 1823. How did you get all the way out there in general?
Right. Yeah, good point.
So if you made it that far from America, couldn't have been easy back then.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And also, now you're like, this is going to make me sound shallow, but like, they smelled, right?
Oh,
like
sure,
that's why God. Nobody wanted to take them.
All the of smell. Them did. All of all them smell. Did.
All of them.
They were like, we're just good people. And they were like, oh, oh, you know what? Our caravan is full. Oh, it's full. I'm so, so sorry.
Oh, it's so full. It's so full.
Oof. Oof.
Just like your pants are very full. It smells like it's very full.
Let's just assume that our two main characters have been playing house out in the desert for a month, 2 months, maybe. How are they all really clean shaven? Like, riddle me that one, Batman.
Clean shaven the whole. I mean, that one, I didn't even think about that, but that's because I'm like, how long did it take? Even if you did know enough, you don't know how to like shoot a bow and arrow, but you do apparently know basic home construction. How long would that have taken to do? Like,
right.
6 months? Like, how? I mean,
at least a month to forage everything. Okay, let's just say that's all he did for a week. Let's say 2 weeks. 2 weeks, like, at the best
pure foraging.
Crunching it. Yeah. You guys crunching that kid's cabin? Tight.
Oh, and then,
tight. Tight. Let's get to it. What are the what's the brass tacks
stubble.
On this cabin?
No
he
stubble.
He doesn't even have any stubble
on his
face.
He has a knife. He had that knife, though.
That's a good point. He did
him
have the
shaving,
knife.
The least of my problems in this. How? Who made the diaper that he wore? And
without them being in constant waterfalls, that was a real stinky time.
That was a hilarious moment that Erica pointed out, because once they literally is a cut where she's like, oh, we're here. I wonder what it was like when they built the first house. And next thing you know, they're in the house. And at that point, they had clothes. And those clothes are gone. And now they have created, you know,
they have Tarzan of leather
and
yeah,
and, yeah,
and Jane clothing to cover themselves. And Eric was like, where did he get that loincloth?
Where did he get the loincloth? Where did she get the bikini? They fashioned shoes for one another. They even at one point make like a little kind of, you know, like apron cover up for the chimp. Yeah. Where is this coming from?
I don't know.
And they're eating fruit. They're like walking around just eating fruit, watching each other bathe. I'm like, where are you getting all this fresh fruit?
Yeah.
In the desert, by the ocean.
Yeah.
What peach tree is growing in the desert by the ocean? I'm unfamiliar, also, but I'd love to know.
You're a teenager. Two teenagers of the opposite sex. Both of you are in peak shape.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to find time to build a house? Because you're going to be just fucking all the time.
It took them a long time to Blue Lagoon at Mark's, as you like, pointed out.
You're like, we're here, and we don't have much for clothes, so...
He tries to kiss her, though, at one point. She's like, no. Not yet. Let's let the plot develop.
Least believable part of the entire
movie. Oh, 100%. 100%.
Hey, what you guys are forgetting is the absolute boner killer of... mentor aging manservant Joffrey was still in the back of everyone's mind. So as soon as they thought about kissing, they hear a tut tut tut, madam. A lady never puckers her lips, or whatever silly bullshit he was imparting.
How dare you talk about Joffrey like this? This is so upsetting.
Yeah, I'm on a Joffrey smear campaign. I said it.
That's fair. That's fair.
How dare you treat Joffrey like that? He... was
I know we're not at final questions, but in the end they get to the city.
They do.
And the chimpanzees wisely desert.
Yeah, they split. They're like,
why didn't
deuces.
They split before the city though? I mean, fuck, I now they know. Got a long road
because
back.
Because I felt like the only reason they got there was the chimps. Like, let's be honest. The chimps were like, take you two idiots back to your kind. We're going to go be on our own. Here you go.
Uh-huh. True.
Yeah.
They were literally saved by those chimpanzees.
Yeah.
What do you think happened?
And they're chimpanzees.
What do you think happened when they got to this city?
You speak pretty good Japanese.
Yeah, what do they do once they get to this? I don't know. I mean, does she now contact her dad and go back? I mean, presumably, I have to think this has been, my thought was, how long has this been going on? I'm giving them conservatively 6 months to build that house. And then everything that fell out from there, maybe another 2 months, maybe 8 months. But it could have been way longer. Like, they probably thought she died by the Marauders.
Well, they've got a baby on the way,
and
the baby
like,
was kicking, so that's at least 4 or 5 months of pregnancy,
right? Right. Yeah.
So where you can feel it?
I didn't crunch chimp pregnancy, but that chimp does also give birth, so I don't know.
Also, I didn't know the chimps gave birth to newborn chimps that were that big and developed. I was really concerned about that.
Mark, do you speak Japanese? I don't think so. So what do you know?
Yeah, so...
You speak pretty good Japanese.
Hey, Mark. So, all right?
Yeah.
You speak pretty good Japanese.
Thank you.
So, yeah, what do they do? We don't know. They just take off. And do they even go into town? I don't even see where they walked to.
They do. They start to, like, run towards it. But the thing that cracked me up the most about them coming back to civilization and they see it and there's that sort of fake out moment where you think, ooh, are they gonna go back? Like, are they gonna, you know, because they kind of hesitate at the beach and then the chimps go back and they're like, oh, should we? And Phoebe Cates is like, oh, like laundry, fresh laundered sheets. Oh, we'll go back and it's going to be so wonderful. And he's like, and the chocolate, so much chocolate. I laughed.
Because he's a child.
So
he's
hard.
Child.
I'm like, that's the only thing he's looking forward to
any
getting
kind
back
of chocolate.
To.
Chocolate. Everything. What a child.
Oh my
God. Chocolate everything.
Yeah.
This new father is excited to go back for chocolate everything.
Finally, some chocolate. Do they? I know we're not at final questions. Do you think they actually make it, or do you like do they continue to be a couple, or do they get back to reality and they're like,
oh, I thought you said, know what? I thought you were gonna say, or do they blow their fucking brains out before they right. get to the
right. they're like, this adventure was all I needed for life. This is it.
They Joffrey themselves.
Yeah. They're like, I'm gonna walk into this dangerous camp.
Well, his family's gone, and she yeah. has a fairly prestigious family, and I'm sure they want to avoid an English scandal.
Mm-hmm.
So they yeah. will get married and raise the child in a proper way.
Mm.
That's what
By the way, that,
I was going to say, I think that she walks into the town and immediately some other hunky rich dude is like, hey, I'm going to marry you because you're gorgeous. And then he's like, oh, stupid. Like having a little fit. And then somebody walks by.
Just eating chocolate. Just crushing chocolate bars.
Yeah. Where are you going? What's
the difference? That's what yeah, happened in the end.
They're almost to town, but he sees a little chocolatier, so and she won't stop and let him try it out, so he just he's runs like, off, stomps away.
No.
Told you, yeah. I wanted chocolate everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, it ends right there.
Yeah, and she runs into a hunky millionaire, and she's like, yeah, but I'm pregnant. He's like, don't matter. I mean,
so what? I'm impotent. I mean,
you're Phoebe
Let's go.
Cates. I'm good.
Yeah.
The end song, by the way, over the credits at the tail end, the Paradise theme, is sung by Phoebe Cates. She actually
really?
Put out, yeah, she actually put out a record. It didn't do so well in the States, but it like she, there's almost a way a track where she would have just become a recording star.
Wow.
I mean, it could have
happened. We didn't support her. We didn't support her enough in the
U.S. We didn't give her enough. That's yeah. why she retired early. She was like, you know what? Forget you guys. You guys didn't like my songs? Fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
I think she made out okay. I mean, I'm not too worried about her. I think she's okay.
Do you think she's okay? Do you think
she's all right?
Can we put together right. a GoFundMe just to see if she's all right? Just to make sure she's got enough.
Yeah, yeah.
We need Winter's this, coming. It's going to get cold. Does she have a jacket?
Call it a health check for her. Like, are you okay?
Are you going to do all right?
Yeah, I think she's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, that has been it. I think we're good on Paradise.
Yeah.
That sounds nearly... good for me. I may just go get a chocolate, anything. I deserve it. I've had a tough night.
I will say that the one thing about this movie that I was like, you know, we talk about a lot of exploitation films, obviously, talking about New World Pictures. And there's movies that are like, we're going to take an idea and we're going to build off of it with another idea. And this mm-hmm. movie was from the beginning to end being like, nope, this is just Blue Lagoon again. Just mm-hmm. in a different place, a slightly different setup, but that's yep. it. And in fact, yeah. the setup is what makes me think that this is kind of hilarious because it didn't make sense as I explained. But like, other than that, they're like, it's Blue Lagoon. We're just going to do mm-hmm. different setup, but it's Blue Lagoon again. That's it. And it just was so blatant. It was like, even, and we'll talk about that this month. Even the nurses' films were always different. Like even
for
when
sure.
you were like, yeah. New World was trying to. This one's just like, it's just Blue Lagoon again. That's it. Just,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't try too hard. And Blue Lagoon for little kids, but with young adults who get naked. So
and that's chimpanzees,
it.
And that's it.
And chimpanzees. And
we're mm-hmm. gonna go for the young market too, as mm. well as the horny teens. That's yeah. what we're gonna go.
We're
for.
Gonna cover it all.
Yeah, so I did.
What are we watching
that
next? What's the next one? I feel like we need an upper going into Sextember Foreplay.
Oh yeah.
What's next on the list?
I'm glad
we can let people know. We can.
I'm glad you asked, Mark.
Do a little BTS
next week,
on this. Come on.
We're gonna jump back into the New World Video Library.
Ooh, okay.
We're gonna talk about Where Did I Come From?
Oh boy. Mm.
The video so that taking... children and adults have been waiting for, Mark. It's going to talk about... It's the essence. It's the essence of this month's theme.
So this is taking a real clinical approach on the Sextember part, right?
Yeah. Yeah. A movie from the Learning Corporation of America, which New World purchased. And, yeah, we're going to go through and we're going to learn...
Okay.
Sex education can be fun, it says.
Boy.
On the actual tape.
Kids, gather around the VCR. Let's see if it's fun.
I'm going to place my bet that this is 52 minutes tops.
No.
45 minutes tops.
Nope.
Oh, God.
30 minutes out the door.
Mm-mm.
2 hours and 24 minutes.
But you're close. 27 minutes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
27 Woo! Minutes. But we're going to have a good time talking about where did they come from. Oh, yeah. Check us out next week. Check out all of our episodes from Sextember 4 Play. If you want to listen to all of our episodes, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where we have all of our episodes. Our interviews. We'll have interviews as well. We got t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. Help support the show. We'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network, please select the link in the description